Right, let us turn in our hymn book as we begin this morning. Hymn number 155, as we worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth. God is so good to us. He woke us up this morning and got us on our way. 155.
Spent in vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord was crucified. Though we thought it was for me, he died on Calvary.
155.
Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty.
Amen. How many are glad for Calvary? Say amen. 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 Aren't you glad our sins were put on Jesus that day? And mercy was great and grace was free. But it cost Jesus everything. So let's think about that on that third verse, 155.
Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied. Burden soul found liberty and glory.
And the last,
the love that through salvation swam, the grace that brought it down to them, the mighty gulf that God did spend.
Amen. Let us bow together in prayer. Brother Hodge, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful day that you have made. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be in church to sing the hymns that bring glory to your name. And we thank you, Lord, for each one who has come. We pray for those who might get the underway coming, bring them safely. And we pray that the entire day will be a day of blessing and refreshing around your world. In the Sunday school class,
amen. Stay standing for our pledges. Come on up, pledge leaders. Give us a hand with the pledges, American flag, Christian flag, and the Bible. And bring your Bible up as well. Okay, let us start with the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe.
Turn to the Bible, salute. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God.
Thank you. You may be seated. Great job. We're so thankful that we have our Bible. Without our Bible, we are without a sword and we are without defense. And the Word of God is our life, our sharp sword. It helps us, guides us through life. It's a lamp unto our feet. Without our lamp, we're stuck. We are in the dark. So I hope that you love your Bible. Bring your Bible each Sunday to church. It's so important to bring your Bible with you. That a phone Bible is just not as good. Because you can't, you got all kinds of other distractions on it. You can't just whip it out and start reading it. You got to go to this app and you got to go there. And whereas your Bible, it's ready at your side. At this time, we'll have our ushers come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings this morning. And what a blessing it is to be able to give back to God a portion of that which He has given to us. It's a good to be together this morning. It's good to have Brother Joe back with us. Welcome back, Joe. And we missed you while you were out. And good to have Nicole with us as well. And LJ and Linda back with us. Welcome back, LJ and Linda. And let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Father, this day, bless this offering of God's mercy. Would you stand by prayer?
Do we have any birthdays or anniversaries? Any birthdays or anniversaries this morning? This week? Did we miss any last week that we... oh yeah, LJ's is this week. Come on up, buddy. Can't take it anymore, huh? I know we sang to you last week. So this week we will just ask you some questions. Recognizing. So when's your birthday? When's his birthday, Linda?
Saturday.
All right. Birthday boys don't get prizes if they don't come up. Come on up, LJ. All right. There we go. You don't like to be embarrassed, do you? Huh?
No.
That's okay. So you're going to be what?
14.
All right, good, okay. So, what are you thankful to God for? This
everyone here.
Amen. All right. We couldn't celebrate without you. Okay, we'll sing the different version. Happy birthday to you, to Jesus be true. May God's richest blessings abide upon you. Yay. Okay. All right, now you can pick a prize out of the prize box. Anyone else have birthday? Okay. Anyone coming up in a week or two? Any other June birthdays? Okay. July. How many are in July? Anybody in July? Okay. Kids, save up for camp. Okay. Come on. We want to see you all come to camp. Okay. So do some chores around the neighborhood, the house, the relatives. Ask them all. Say, hey, this is your goal. I want to save $165. Can you help me do it? I just need some jobs. And sure enough, people will come out of the woodwork to help you go to summer camp. It's a Bible camp, and you get ride a pony, you get to do all kinds of other things, a big pool, half an Olympic-sized swimming pool. It beats staying home for the week, okay? Get to hear good preaching, get to make new friends, get to eat good food. There's even a snack shop there. We play games. It's a lot of fun. But you got to work to get there, okay? So you still have time. All right, this time we'll sing our kids' song, youth song, before we dismiss our young people. All right, come on up and help me out with this song. We're going to sing Sermon in Shoes, okay? Help me out with Sermon in Shoes. We need some holders. Come on up, Messiah. Blessing, come on up. I need two more. LJ, good. Okay, fix the shoes if you want to hold. This one, okay? Cowboy. There you go. Okay, let's give it a try. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So walk it and talk it, a sermon in shoes. Second one. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So know it and show it, a sermon in shoes. How are you and I a sermon in shoes? What's a sermon? Can anyone tell us what a sermon is? What's a sermon?
A preaching.
Good. A preaching message. You and I are a preaching message. How are we a preaching message? Who are we a preaching message to? Eric?
God.
Good. We
know everything.
That's right.
He sees it all.
So who are we a message to? The unsaved, we're a message of Jesus. And to the saved, what are we a message of? Of either faithfulness to God or unfaithfulness to God. Okay, so we've got to decide who if we're going to live for Christ or not. So we are a sermon in shoes. Let's sing that third one. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So live it and give it, a sermon in shoes. Hold it up nice and high, LJ. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So teach it and preach it, a sermon in shoes. Okay, now we're going to go through all four and hold yours up when we get to yours, okay? Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Jesus calls upon us to spread the gospel news. So walk it and talk it and know it and show it and live it and give it and teach it and preach it, a sermon in shoes. Amen. You are dismissed to your Sunday school classes at this time. Any birthdays that we missed? Did anyone coming in have a birthday this week? Anyone coming to have birthday this week? No? Okay, so no birthdays. We'll dismiss the teen class with Mr. Hodge until Pastor Logan gets here. And we'll dismiss the kids. And Okay, thank you. All right, welcome. We want to welcome some visitors with us today. We're glad to have, of course, Linda and LJ, and glad to have each one of you here. And it's good to have, is that Janie here with us? Is that Janie?
Yes.
All right, welcome, Janie. How are you doing? Long time no see, yeah.
It's a blessing.
Amen.
I am so glad I can be here.
this is Janie, and this is some of our regulars here. All right, amen. And this is Dominique. Dominique up front there. All right, we're going to take some prayer requests. Who has a prayer request to mention this morning? Yes, Joe. We need each other, that's for sure. That's why we have church, because we see each other every week, you know, to be reminded of the fact that we are God's children and that we need help. You know, we need each other. You know, can you imagine if it was just a pastor? You know, he'd be preaching to nobody. You know, can you imagine if just each one of us, we'd be sitting in the pew all by ourselves looking around? I guess no one showed up this week, you know. See, we need each other. We need each other to encourage one another in the Lord. So let's pray for Joe. All right. Who else? Yes, Eric.
I thank God for being here. I thank God that you did one with me. But, you know, my sister going to come to see me, and I pray for Roy and everybody.
Okay. All right. Yes, let's pray for Roy and Carol and my family. Appreciate that. Thankful. Yes, she will be here. She was sick on Wednesday, but I talked to her yesterday, last night. She said she's doing a lot better, so she'll be here today. Yes, Jimmy. Okay. That'll be next week, right? Next weekend?
I think the
22nd. 22nd, okay. Anyone else? Yes, Nicole. Is that James? That is Nathan. Okay. Yes, Joe. Amen. Amen. She's a special lady. She is dedicated to the Lord. Amen. Who else? Regina. Okay. Let's pray for Chanel's new job. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Jane. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And you know, I do thank God that, you know, He brings me back to see everyone.
Amen.
You know, and that's a blessing.
Amen.
Because, you know, only God is keeping us together.
That's right.
Looking up to Him for strength and help and whatever we need. Because
He's the only one who can do it.
Amen.
I take the Lord how you just bless me with my health.
Amen.
And you know how you just keep me well and full of spirit. And I just love him. I just thank him. And that's why I can say what I'm saying to you. I love y'all. I wish you came to be here. It's great to you.
Amen.
Amen.
You pray for, we pray for you, and you pray for us. Or as they say down south, you pray for me, and we'll pray for y'all. That's what they say down south. That's funny. All right. Who else? Essie? Okay. A Patty. Yes, James.
You know Randy, right?
Yes.
One guy I was getting ready to go to Lake, he called me. Mm. He said, she, the nurse, you know, she did, right? She said she wanted to come to this church, and she, you know, she went out of the nurse, you know, she learned how to walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't like me anymore.
Mm. Okay. Let's pray for Lainey.
Pray for my sister.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, who'd like to help me pray this morning? Anyone like to help me pray? Okay, Wellington? Okay. All right, you go ahead and then I'll close.
Hey, Heavenly Father, this morning we pray for the ones in the pastor. May we pray something to this, God. Lord, we thank you that we are always ready to hear our request that we are each of these.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of being able to pray to you at any time of the day or night. We thank you that you always hear our prayers, even though it may be early or late. We thank you that we can confess our sin any time to you, that you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and put us back on the right way. Lord, help us to not ever ask you for things until we have confessed our sins so that we can have that right standing with you, Lord. Please forgive us our sins. Help us to be the right kind of Christian that we need to be, Lord, in your word daily and on the upward way, going to higher ground. Lord, help us to deny the flesh and to deny the world and deny the devil of getting any hold on our life. And, we pray especially for Brother Joe today that you just help him, Lord, to just be impacted by his loving church family, Lord. And I pray you just bless him, Lord. Help him to go forward for you in a mighty way, Lord. You know your perfect will for his life, Lord. We want him on that, Lord. And we pray you just bless him. Thank you for Nicole, Lord. I pray you just bless her as well, Lord. You can help her to stay faithful to you. Help her to just be a help, Lord. And I pray you be with Eric's sister, Lord. We think of her her and the family, Lord. Pray for Eric's brothers and the whole family. Pray for Roy and Carol Gibson. We thank you that Carol is doing much better after her stomach sickness, Lord. We thank you that you've healed her of this, Lord. Help her as she comes out today. And be with Brother Roy, that he'd be able to make it out today, Lord, for your honor and glory. We pray for Jimmy and his future brother-in-law, his sister's getting married. Pray you'd bless them and bless the nephew, Lord, that is coming into the family, that you just help him to make the right decisions, Lord, and help him to seek you. If he's not saved, help him to get saved. Help anyone who's not saved in the family to get saved. Pray for Nathan and James. We pray for Nathan with his different car incidents, Lord. We pray you'd help help him to get the money to get these things fixed, and help him to show that he's trying to put his best foot forward, Lord, and help the police to do the rest as well, Lord, that they would give leniency. And we pray for Regina with her daughter Chanel with her new job, Lord. I pray you just guide and direct her. Be with Darrell, keep him healthy and strong so he can take care of his kids. And pray for Janie with her. Thank you so much for bringing her back with us, Lord, as we missed her over these months, not seeing her at Atlantic, Lord. We thank you that she's back here with us at church. We pray you just bless Janie. Give her a wonderful day today, worshiping you. We pray you be with Essie and her family. Just bless them, keep them well. We pray for Patty with her chemotherapy or her colonoscopy tomorrow. We pray you just take her through that well. We pray that they would not find any cancer or any problems, Lord. We pray you just heal her in a mighty way. And we pray for the other test she has on Wednesday, the CAT scan. We pray you'd help that. The results come out well for that as well, Lord. You keep Patty close to you. We thank you that she's back with us. We pray for Alice, that Alice would be able to come out to church soon and be with her hip and any other problems she may have, Lord. And pray for Lainey, that you just meet her needs as well. And pray for any of our friends who are not saved yet. Help us to witness to them so that they can trust Christ as Savior and know the joy and peace that we have through your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yes. Oh, wonderful. Oh, nice. Sure. Okay. All right. We'll get more this week. Okay. So let's turn our Bibles. We've been looking at the truth of God's Word. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Ephesians 4:11-12. Ephesians 4:11-12. Why do we need our Bible? Why do we need the local church? Why do we need God in our life? Ephesians 4:11-12. We see the problems. You know, all we have to do is take a little poll of our friends who don't have the Lord to see how that's working out, right? How's that working out for them to not know the Lord in life? And it doesn't work out well at all. It's a terrible way to live. It's a miserable way to live. They may have a good job. They may have a lot of money. They may have a car in the garage. But guess what? They're not happy. They're not satisfied with life because they don't have Jesus yet. And it's sad. It's sad to watch people go through life like that. And so we need to keep on being a blessing to them and witnessing to them so that they can come to know Jesus. Okay, Ephesians 4:11-12. Who would like to read those verses for us? Okay, Tricia.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Okay, so Paul taught that believers educated in the Word are also to be equipped for the ministry. His message is not new. The book of Proverbs, as we've been saying Proverbs on Sunday mornings, makes it clear that knowledge must be accompanied by wisdom. We've been going through that last week. Wisdom is the principal thing that we must seek. The comprehension of the facts must be accompanied by a comprehension of their implications. Similarly, Paul wrote to the Colossians testifying that he prayed that they would not only know the will of God, but also do the will of God. Let's go over to Colossians 1. See, I think that's where the biggest problem is in Christianity today. Modern day born again Christianity is that our problem is that we may know a lot of verses. We may know what to do. In fact, we could probably give good counsel to many people, but until we start doing it ourselves, it's like the physician that can't heal himself. It's like the physician who can only say you take this prescription, but he doesn't get better. That we have to be consistent Christians. Okay, Colossians 1:9-10. Who has it? Okay, go ahead.
This cause we all also since the being we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and our wisdom and spiritual understanding. That he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all peace, being fruitful and every good work.
Okay, so here we see how do we get from a point of being a Christian who's kind of getting beat down by the world, the flesh, and the devil, to being a victorious Christian? How do we get to that place according to these verses? Let's outline it. Okay, what's the first thing in Colossians 1:9-10? Okay, prayer, okay? That's the first thing, is we need to be praying. There is so much power in prayer that will go untapped if we aren't praying. You realize that? That there was two famous preachers that were standing next to Niagara Falls. They took a little trip over there to view the massive gushing waterfalls. How many have ever been to Niagara Falls, New York, there on the Canadian border? Okay. And how many watched around the Horseshoe Falls and just all the massive water, and then coming all the way around the other side of the Horseshoe Falls, just water, just thousands and thousands of gallons every second going over those falls. And they were talking to each other and they said, wow, this is amazing. All this rushing water, so much power. And the one preacher said, boy, have you ever seen such a great mass of untapped power such as this? And the preacher thought for a minute. The other preacher thought for a minute. He said, no. Said this. This isn't the greatest untapped power source. The greatest untapped power source is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Christians when they don't pray. He said that's what is missing in so many Christians' lives is we're defeated all the time. We may talk a good game, but when push comes to shove, if we're not praying, we are prayerless. Prayerless. Prayerlessness leads to loss of power. If we are prayerless, then we don't have God's power in our life. We don't have what we need in the Christian life. We are not fighting against the devil and his fiery darts. You know, every day the devil's trying to throw a fiery dart at you. He's trying to get us down, and he's trying to get us discouraged, and he's trying to get us thinking about our own problems instead of about God. And so he's constantly throwing fiery darts. So that's why we need to stay vigilant in prayer. Okay, that's so important. First thing you need to do in the morning is do what? Pray. Praise the Lord. Thank him. Confess your sins. Tell him how good he is. Praise his holy name. Don't waste your morning. Don't waste your bedtime. Don't waste your time when you're waking up to give it to some, you know, email or to some TV show, you know. Give your first time in the morning to God, because that is the best time of the day to praise the Lord. Okay, so we need that. We don't want to lose power. We don't want to be prayerless here. I'll focus it down so there now it doesn't glare as much, right? Is that easier to see? A little worse, okay. Tell me when it gets better. That's good? Okay, sure thing. Okay, so Colossians 1:9, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Okay, when we cease to pray, that's when we cease to have that close walk with God. When we cease to pray, that's when we cease to have a close walk with God, and we're starting to let other things come in. Pray without what? Without ceasing. Okay, now how does that work for the Christian? How does a Christian pray without stopping all through the day? How does that work? That's good. Carrying on a conversation with the Lord. Doesn't mean we can't work, doesn't mean we can't talk to other people, but immediately, you know, when you find that you're not talking to someone else, you're talking back to the Lord. You're back to talking with the Lord, and you're back to just thinking about him. So what keeps us from that unceasing prayer? What stops that? The devil. Very good. Sin. Sin breaks up. Yeah, sin breaks that unceasing prayer. And so we've got, what is the remedy for the, you know, when we sense that, ooh, why am I not thinking about God anymore? Why am I not praying anymore today? What's going on? What should we immediately do? Call on him and confess our sins again. We need to confess our sins again. We need to say, whoa, wait, something happened between me and God. I stopped praying. That means that there's sin there. And God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what? Will not hear me. Okay, so if we are in sin, guess what? The Lord won't listen to us. We may pray this great oration. You may pray this wonderful prayer. Guess what? It'll be like it's hitting the ceiling, and coming right back down again. Why? Because we're regarding sin in our heart. Okay, so we've got to stay close to God in prayer. Okay, what's the second thing in Colossians 1 and verse 9? What's the second thing that we can be victorious? This is the pattern for a victorious Christian life here. Okay, be filled with the knowledge of his will. Okay, so what is the second? How do we know what God's will is for our life? Very good. Reading the Bible is key to knowing the knowledge of his will. Okay, if you don't take your Bible, or if your Bible stays on the shelf all week long, or if your Bible's buried somewhere and you can't even remember where it is, guess what? I can tell you, you're not going to have a good week this week. You're going to get buffeted. You're going to get beat up. You're going to get troubled on every side, and you're not going to have the knowledge of God's will in your life. You're not going to have it. You're not going to be able to apply the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You're not going to be able to do it. Why? Because the devil's got you unarmed. Well, that's what the enemy wants, okay? If someone breaks into your house, what's the first instinct we do? Call the police, of course, but what else? Pray, okay? That's important.
Call
on the Lord, yes. But what else you do? If you hear him rustling in the kitchen, you know, and you're in the bedroom, what are you going to do in the bedroom? Besides, of course, call 911.
Lock the door and hide.
Lock the door and hide, okay. You might try to find something, right? You might have a baseball bat, you know. If they come back in there, you know. Yeah, you want to have something to protect yourself. Yeah, if he comes back there, you know. And so... that's the thing, is if we are unarmed, if we don't have our Bible, which is our sharp sword, guess what? The devil comes into our house, he comes in, he comes knocking, he's rustling through, he's wreaking havoc in the kitchen, he's wreaking havoc in the dining room, he's taking stuff in the living room, and then he's coming back to our bedroom, guess what? You better have your Bible, or the devil's going to just get you and he's going to plunder you. He is going to shoot some sharp, fiery darts at you, and you're going to be vanquished. Okay? So that's the whole point, is we need to have the knowledge of His will, that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will through the Word of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, it's not, we got to read the Bible, and then we've got to ask God for wisdom. Ask Him for wisdom to apply what we just read. Because and there's times where we feel dry, or there's times where we feel like, oh, this book isn't speaking to me like I need it to. Well, guess what? It's not the Bible's fault. It's our fault. It's our fault for not going to God for wisdom. Okay? If John is becoming dry to you, or Genesis, or Job, or Nahum is becoming dry to you, or Jeremiah or Isaiah, it's not because the Bible is not powerful enough anymore. It's because you're not asking God for His wisdom to apply His word to your situation. You're not digging into it enough. And so we need to, as we read the Bible, we've got to depend on God and the Holy Spirit to understand what we're reading. You know, it's like Philip and the Ethiopian treasurer. He said that Philip said to him, "Hey, understandest what thou readest?" He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" You know, he said, I can't understand what this is saying here in Isaiah, because I'm not saved yet, number one. And number two, I need someone to help me to understand it. Well, he needed to get saved so that the Holy Spirit could be his teacher. But before he could get saved, he needed someone to tell him the gospel. That's what you and I are. You and I are the preacher, or the teacher, to help people understand the gospel message. We're all sinners, that God made us, He loves us, and He has a plan for our life, but that because we're sinners, we are dying in our sin and going to hell. And then we need Jesus who died on the cross for us to save us from our sin. We need we needed a preacher to help us get saved. So therefore, you have to be that one for someone to understand what they're reading. Okay? So here, the knowledge that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, how else do we live that victorious Christian life? Okay. Then we now apply what we just learned from God, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Now it's our turn, okay? After you put on the armor of God in the morning, don't expect God to all of a sudden just, you know, make all your decisions for you. You know, that's what a lot of times we do. Well, Lord, I just prayed and read the Bible, and I meditated on your word and prayed to you. Now he expects us to do our part. Apply what we just learned and to make wise decisions in life. Okay, to walk worthy of the Lord. To say, you know, I'm not going to do that, and I am going to do this. I am going to, oh, please the Lord. I am going to do what's right. Okay, it's self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit, is temperance. That God's given us a brain to use, to be in charge of our body. God has given us the mind of Christ. So, okay, so when that person comes up in the morning and you smell the smoke on their body, and they say, hey, I'm going out for a smoke. You want to go out for a smoke with me? And they start to hand you a cigarette. Now, what are you then supposed to do with what you just did? You prayed, you read the Bible, you said, Lord, help me to understand it. You understood it. And now, number four comes in. What are you supposed to do when someone says, hey, you want to go out for a smoke with me? No, what should you say? No, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't want me putting that cigarette into my mouth. You know? He doesn't want those fumes and that smoke coming down into my lungs, poisoning up my lungs. He doesn't want that the fumes of that cigarette and that toxin of tobacco coming down and the nicotine going down into my stomach and rotting out my stomach. The Holy Ghost doesn't want those fumes going up into my brain and destroying more brain cells. Okay, the Holy Ghost does not want me to put a poisonous object into my body. So now I'm making the sin. No, I'm not going to go out with you and smoke anymore. By God's grace, I'm going to resist the devil. And so he will flee from me. And so we've got to do our part, which is walk worthy of the Lord and say, hey, don't do this. I'm not going to do it with you. And if you do it, that's fine, but I can't be close to you if you do that anymore, you know? So we have to break off some friendships with people who are continually, willfully choosing to sin around us. You know, we can't be close with them anymore. Why? Because they're just being emissaries of Satan. Just like we're supposed to be a missionary for God, well, guess what? They're a missionary for Satan. They're an emissary of Satan. They're not a missionary, they're an emissary. They're one of Satan's minions, and he's got them trapped and thinking that that's all life is. It's just fun and games, and it's just like how many ever watched Pinocchio? Okay, when you were little, okay, that little boy who was or that little puppet that was made out of wood, and if he made good choices, you know, he would get good things happening to him. Well, he hung out with the wrong kind of person, right? He hung out with that bad boy named Lampwick, and Lampwick said, let's just smoke all day, and they smoke, and they drank all day and all night, and then they went, and Lampwick says, hey, let's go over to, hey, they're going to take us to the amusement park. Let's go over to the amusement park. Yeah, we can do whatever we want there, and they go to the amusement park, and they ride the rides, and then later on, as the day is dying, after they ride all the rides, and they're smoking, they're drinking, they're in the billiards hall, and they're just tearing the place up, throwing rocks at the windows, and doing all kinds of bad things, just very vandalous things. Then all of a sudden, as they're playing pool, one of the boys grows the donkey ears. And then all of a sudden, he's got a tail. And then Pinocchio gets the donkey ears, and then a tail. And they say, whoa, what's happening to us? What happened? They were acting like fools, and guess what? And sure enough, the other boy turned into a donkey, and then the bad guy took him into slavery. Okay, well, that's exactly what the devil wants to do in our life. He wants to take us into slavery, to make fools out of us for the rest of our life, and to make us of no consequence to God. That we are not a missionary anymore. Every time people look at us, they say, ha! What a joke that person is. What a joke. What a fool. You know, that's what the devil wants to make out of us. And so we've got to realize, hey, the devil's game is no good for me. God's will is wonderful for me. God's will is perfect. He has a perfect plan for me. God's will is a blessed life. A life of all the good things I want out of life, God wants to give it to me. The devil has a plan for my life too, and that's to make a fool out of me, and to die early, and to just live for myself. You know, they all laughed at, the world laughed about a year ago or so, 2 years ago, when the vice president said, I won't go to any restaurant, I won't go anywhere alone with a lady besides my wife. My wife's the only one I'll go out alone with, but I won't go out with a lady by myself. And so Vice President Pence said that on to some news station, and they all laughed at him. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, how old-fashioned that is. And come on, you need to get up with the times. And, oh, what a fool you are to only you never go out with a lady to lunch or to dinner. Come on, you know you have to have business associations and dealings with ladies sometimes. And you, oh, come on, get out. Get off this. You're not going to go out to... You're not going to go out to dinner with one lady, you know. And they laughed at him and laughed at him. And then guess what? The news headlines changed 6 months to a year. Now where we are today. Fast forward to now where we are today. Who looks like the fool now? All those men who had lunch and dinner with those ladies by themselves. And if, sure enough, it led to inappropriate things. And they had little dalliances and little bad things going on. Well, who's the fool now? It's not Vice President Pence. He's still staying on high, he's still staying on the high ground. It's the safety net of the Word of God. But the world looks foolish. See, they have a double standard. The world will laugh at us for living for Christ. Ah, you Christian, you're living for Jesus. Ah. And then when someone dies because of their foolish sins, all of a sudden they're saying, oh, Christian, you know, tell me a little bit more about what you have to offer. You know, death wakes the unsaved people up. Prison wakes the unsaved people up. It wakes people up when all of a sudden they realize, hey, my sin is bringing me to this point. So we've got to realize the devil wants to make us be a fool. But let's stay victorious in the will of God. And let's not give in to the world's ploys. Okay, then the last thing, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That means pleasing God in all things. Okay, it's important to please God and not ourselves. We need to deny self. Our self, our flesh, wants what? What does it want? Doesn't want everything that's bad, you know. Our flesh wants to eat, right? You know, lunchtime comes around, our flesh wants to eat. Is that a bad thing to eat? No. But what about when your flesh wants to eat some steak and shrimp, and you don't have money for steak and shrimp? You know? Or, you know, if you like something else, whatever, your favorite thing, you know? Well, that's when our flesh needs to get in check, and we say, no, flesh, you know what? You may want that hamburger or that steak and shrimp, but we don't have money right now. We're going to go home and we're going to make some, you know, what we have. Yeah. And that's where our spirit, the mind of Christ is in charge of our body to tell our flesh what to do and what not to do. Okay? So our spirit it has to be in charge of our body so that our flesh is not. Okay? Because our flesh will destroy us. Okay? Being fruitful in every good work. Pleasing the Lord, denying self. What are some other ways that our flesh wants to tell us what to do? Any specific areas you can think of? What are some other ways our flesh wants to tell us what to do? Okay, alcohol. Okay, if you drank alcohol when you were younger, and you go near someone who's drinking and you smell that smell, you know, there's going to be a temptation there. Why? Because your flesh has already been accustomed to it earlier in life. What do we need to do then? Stay away. Stay far away. Walk the wide way around. Go a different block home. Just take the wide way away, because we can't trust our flesh. We can't, and we got to hate sin with a passion. God says, "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." You know, that sin of alcoholism and a sin of drinking and drugs and whatever else, immorality, fornication, pornography, anger, wrath, malice, bitterness, unforgiveness, all those sins is what put Jesus on the cross. So we've got to hate those sins with a passion. If we engage back in them, we're literally approving what Jesus died for, what he's against. Okay? And so we've got to have, we can't have, when we went to war with the Nazis and World War I and World War II, you know, we didn't say, okay, you know, just give us a little bit and we'll give you a little bit. You know, you come across, send a few guys across and we'll let you shoot a few of our guys and we'll gonna send some over to... No, there's no truce in war, right? There's no bargaining in war. They were out to conquer Europe and put it under their supreme control and literally oppress everyone and take away freedoms and kill whole groups of people. And we said, no, we're not going to do that and we're not going to go along with it. And we're going to defeat you. Okay? There is no truce in war. There's no compromising in war. Thus, we need to have the same motto in our Christian life. We can't compromise with sin. We can't coddle it and say, I'll give in to flesh. Flesh, I'll just make a truce with you. I'll give you a little bit of cigarette, or I'll give you a little bit of alcohol, and in return, you just leave me alone for a few days. No, the flesh is going to say, okay, sure. It takes what it wants, and then every day afterwards, it's going to ask you for more. Okay, there can be no truces with our flesh. We cannot, we've got to stay at war all the time with our flesh because it is out to destroy us. And God says we can have the victory. God says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God says, get busy, instead of getting busy doing all the getting around the wrong crowd, remember the wrong friends that make us fools, let's get busy around the right crowd. Let's get busy doing good things for people, helping people in life, working, and doing all the things we should be doing, taking care of our house, you know, making sure it's not a mess, you know, doing our laundry, doing the other things that need to be done, and take care of all the important jobs, and guess what? You won't have time to mess around and sin. Okay, that we need to do what our responsibilities are in life. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us today. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you have a plan for us. The perfect will of God for our life that is so blessed, so abundant, the abundant life that Jesus promises us. But we know that we have a flesh that doesn't want to do that, that we battle with every day. We know the world doesn't want to do that, and the devil doesn't want us to do that. But Lord, help us to stay armed in your word each day. And in prayer, praying through the day without ceasing, that we can have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, help us to not declare any truces with sin, but to fight it each and every day, Lord, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll break for about 10 minutes. We'll come together for the morning worship service. There's coffee in there if you want to get a quick coffee. And we'll be in here in 10 minutes.